Here.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
David Byers.
Here.
J.R. Sloan.
Here.
John Rome for Lev Gonick.
Here.
Rebecca Pereira for Richard Stoffman.
Here.
Thank you all. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum of 5 members, voting members.
All right, thanks, Lay. Welcome everybody to the November edition of ITAC. I want to remind everyone that this is a public meeting, as you see on the agenda here on the screen. We do take public comments. There's a link on that forum, which is also posted on the asset website, to submit a comment if you wish to do so. We will have the team review and disposition those. Moving on to the next item, I want to address, did we receive any conflict of interest forms from any of the committee members, Alay?
Yes, we did. From David Byers, Mr. Byers has 4 courts project.
Okay. So as we get to that project, committee will we will recognize and acknowledge that Mr. Byers will be recusing himself from the vote, and we will take a vote with the remaining members. And for anyone, I'll say for any of the other committee members, if we approach an item and you recognize that you may have a conflict of interest, please self-identify in the process. We will document it accordingly and handle it in line. Next item, go ahead and call attention now, and I'll mention it again at the end of the meeting. We're pulling forward our December meeting to the 13th. In recognition of the holidays that will be approaching, figure we will do better if we have it a little bit earlier. So please take a look at your calendars sooner rather than later and plan for that. With that, we'll move into our first item for voting on the agenda, which is the approval of the October 18th recording as the minutes of our previous meeting.
Mr. Chair Rossetti, I move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. That's a unanimous vote. With that, I will turn it over to Chuck to introduce our first item for voting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Charles Brown. I am the state deputy CIO. I am standing in for our engagement manager assigned to the courts because of a last minute emergency. So I will do my best to shuffle through the process here. We're here today to see a courts project. Currently, the state of Arizona has 15 counties on multiple custom-built solutions for juvenile case management that track both probation and dependency data. As the systems continue to age, the cost of maintaining them continues to increase, along with additional risk of losing development staff to retirement over time. The courts is seeking to build off their original solution for their adult probation case management solution that was approved by ITAC in September of 2022. The solution is securely hosted in an AWS GovCloud environment, is mobile ready, and provides full case monitoring and reporting capabilities. The juvenile department statewide will benefit by moving to one common system used by all juvenile probation departments. In addition, having a system common to adult and juvenile probation will greatly benefit staff and clients of all probation departments. Mr. Chairman, I'll now turn it over to members of the court's team for them to do a presentation.
Good afternoon. Let me introduce the team. My name is Carl Heckert. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the courts. I'll be presenting this project today. Mr. Dave Byers, you know him, Administrative Director of the courts. Shonda Breed is our Director of Adult Probation Services. She appeared before you a year ago when you approved the Adult Probation Project. And I'll connect these projects for you in a minute. Mr. Joe Kilroy is our Director of Juvenile Justice Services. He'll be the key stakeholder on this project that we're presenting today. And Amy Stewart is our Project Manager for this project. She's been working on juvenile automation projects for well over 2 decades. I won't give any more detail than that on her. you can ask your questions as we go. Basically, on a project introduction basis, this is a replacement of the juvenile automation system that we've had in place. This project started initially as a look at the adult probation system, which you approved a year ago. It was an old PowerBuilder application, roughly 23, 24 years old, and needed to be replaced. When we took a look at replacing it, we knew we wanted to go with a commercial system. There was some indication that a system that could meet the needs of the adult probation would also meet the needs of our juvenile probation department. So we made sure the RFP, when we went out, had the requirements for both of those systems enclosed in it, even though our initial project focus was the adult probation system. So we had users from around the state engage in that review. So our juvenile system today, the old JOLT system, is a little over 10 years old. It actually started construction probably almost 15 years ago. It's a custom-built application. And it sits out there meeting the needs of our juvenile probation environment. We have a separate dependency system that operates, and we've got a Maricopa run within its case management system, its juvenile court processing. There is kind of split environment that currently has to be integrated in order to have a broad statewide view of the juvenile population. So we've got these aging systems and an opportunity here to replace them. The benefits of this project to the state clearly are very much like the adult project that we presented before. Our probation workforce is a mobile workforce, and yet we had a very in-office kind of system. So we're looking for a system that moves us into support for a much more mobile workforce. And we want to be able to integrate our clients, those put on probation, to be able to interact with us through portals and be able to get a better snapshot view of the data and what's happening in those areas. Again, the key here was to move away from the technology debt that comes with custom development. So we were in the market for a commercial off-the-shelf product, and one hopefully that would run in a cloud base. And that is what we found when we did the adult RFP, and we kind of pre-qualified this as the juvenile solution. And this system, the proposed solution we're heading down the road toward, is one that condenses all 15 counties into one system set. So we got to retire the old systems and have the benefits of all of the courts being in, all of the probation departments being in the same system. When I say all the probation departments, that's more than just all the juveniles, which was our original hope, but it also puts them in the same system with the adult environment, so that as we have counties, eight of our counties have shared staff, the combined departments, there'll be one set of technology they need to learn in order to deal with all of those across the board. Next slide. So heading down this road towards a solution, this was the RFP, RFP 2103, conducted by the courts back in October of 2021. It did an extensive analysis of the vendor options that were out there on the market that could be brought in to provide the needs for our probation departments. We've taken a long, hard look at both the adult and the juvenile side, and it's a good match on our juvenile probation front. As you recall, you may recall, when we presented the project originally, we gave you a six-year project timeline. And in that timeline, it engulfed both the move of moving adult probation forward first, and then taking a pause as we kind of recovered, stabilized that environment, and then moving into the juvenile probation world. So that over a course of 6 years, it would move all of those forward. Because we weren't really ready to commit to the juvenile, it was an option in the contract, and weren't resourced for it at the time. We set it aside, and you voted to proceed with the adult project and asked us to come back when we were ready to take on the juvenile project. Since then, the federal government came up with grant money that could be used to fund this initiative. So suddenly the resources were available to be seized upon as that availability came for us. So We applied for that money, received the, were awarded that grant early this last summer, and entered into a deeper dive with Tyler Technologies on what does, what would that project look like, what would its scope look like, and started to formulate out the statement of work and the project plan as we would go forward. So the way this project will form up is under this, the Tyler supervision model, same as the adult probation system. It'll bring all of the counties together in one CMS solution, and that will be adult and juvenile probation in those areas. It'll run in the AWS government cloud, so, and that's already been vetted and approved. And it has its mobile ready capabilities that can be engaged as we go forward with it. Next slide. So the Tyler system, Tyler's a big technology vendor. Most of you have heard of them, I'm sure. This is a cloud-based solution capable of handling it across the country, many other instances of adult and juvenile probation systems. It has a full set of case monitoring and reporting capabilities built into it. It can handle electronic documents and can integrate to our other criminal justice environments that we have moving forward. The system is being implemented for adult probation, but I will tell you, we have not implemented the first counties yet. Those are coming up here. We're coming out of, and we're in our user acceptance testing phase for bringing up our first four counties. That'll happen late this winter. But our progress through that process has been very encouraging. We've seen capabilities and abilities in the systems to move this thing forward. So given that we originally presented this as one project, I think I just need to clarify, there was some thought about whether we were going to simply come in with a change request for the original PIDGE or whether we would create a second project. Because we're going to conduct these as, since they're happening in parallel as opposed to in series with one another, where we'll have a complete unique project team on this project. Therefore, rather than conflating the two projects together and trying to have two project managers manage this off the same PIDGE with you for ITAC, we have decided to split those. So this is being proposed as a new standalone PIDGE, and we'll be back in December for your meeting with a change request on the adult PIDGE, really just to remove the juvenile components of it to clean all that up. Next slide. So project responsibilities, this is very much modeled exactly on the adult project, which we've now had a year to prove. This is how the project will break out. Tyler Technologies is providing all the resource expertise, how to get things configured, managed, training for our users, dealing with all those upper level project management pieces. The courts team will be responsible for the business analysts and the in-house development components. So as we integrate and we build those integration feeds to various justice partners, we'll have those components on our side of that. And we'll do all that project management, change management, and contract management as expected. And then it will be this joint shared responsibilities as we train. So training models will happen with Tyler Technologies taking the lead on the first counties and bringing our trainers up to speed to ultimately take over the project as we move forward into its final cycles. And that's a model that we're working with very comfortably as we work our way through the adult system. I think you'll find, what we'll find on the juvenile side, this will go a lot faster and smoother because the path has already been paved by the adult system. All of that storming and norming process of two unique organizations coming together has been taken off the table with the adult project. We now understand each other's processes and procedures. Those things will fit together much more cleanly as we move forward with this project. Next slide. This is the project plan on this project. The intention, if we get your approval, is to get this project up and running in December. We will engage in two things starting in that December period. So you see a track one pilot, which is our intention is over the first Or the first component of the system is to get our full configuration done and the baseline system ready to go across for all of the counties in the state and implement five of those. So I actually do the conversion and implementation of five of those counties. You see a little red asterisk sitting on the very top of that called decision on dependency in the first quarter. So one of the things that's interesting about juvenile that is not true of adult is that it has not only a probation side, we call it delinquency in the juvenile world, but it has a dependency component. So children and families that have dependency issues are tracked uniquely and differently. Our intention is to move all of that into a single system. So we have a single view of a juvenile across many phases of their interactions with the court. However, there are some very unique differences about how you handle dependency cases and how you handle delinquency cases. And we have spent a fair amount of time with Tyler Technologies talking that through. They have a very high degree of confidence that they can bring that into their system and make it happen, but it is going to require some system changes on their part. We tend to treat dependency cases much more as broad family issues as opposed to this targeted individual issues like with delinquency. So there are some components to that. And what we didn't want to do was make an assumptive decision and rush into that in the very beginning, not confident of all the details. So the first part of this project in the first quarter will be a deep dive into those requirements. Make sure both sides understand the requirements, the changes, and what has to be done in order to fuse that into the new system. At the end of that period, we'll make a determination either to proceed with the entire rollout on this schedule, bringing the dependency component in, or whether we leave dependency in an in-house system and build an integration component to it instead. That's a pending component out there. In track one will be predominantly getting the system up and ready on a general state basis. We know there are some enhancements that we want in the system to support Arizona's juvenile process that all 15 counties engage in. We're going to put most of that activity in the track two, which is stated as the Pima phase. So Pima County will be our lead county on the kind of enhancement of that system and those components. And those have already been kind of discussed and laid out in our project as we would sign into the statement of work. They will come up then shortly after those five pilot counties, and they will all move up to that enhanced version of the software. And as we're doing that, we'll then begin working with Maricopa County, which is our most complex of all the counties. They will be our final one to implement. So there will probably be some unique instances just due to kind of the volume of the processing size they have and some unique processes to manage that that will have to be built into that component. But more importantly, because they run on a very distinct and different juvenile system, there'll be a whole new conversion scheme that will need to be built to move Maricopa's data into the new final solution. And then you see track four, which happens, we'll implement shortly after Pima, actually. It is the remaining eight rural counties that are sitting out there will all be brought together in that final component. So the project will bring itself to a conclusion in June of 2026. Okay, next slide. This is the project cost breakdown. As you can see, we have 3 years of the actual project work where we kick the project off and take it through to full deployment statewide. And then the following 2 years are really just our production operational environment. So that typically with these projects, there's a little bit of stabilization and things that happen in those outlying years. But basically that's our ongoing model for moving into a long-term production model there. So that, as I mentioned before, the thing that pushed this project up was the availability of federal funding. So this project is predominantly, we have the money put together to build the project out through those first 3 years, the grant funds. We've got 3.9 plus $1 million in grants available to spend on this project in this time frame. And then we have an additional $2.2 million in other non-appropriated funds that we will put into getting this initiative up and running. And that's how we will fund those first component of this project. We are asking, just so we're clear and upfront about this, we are asking in this year's appropriation request for additional legislative funding for the SAS fees, the ongoing SAS fees for both the adult and juvenile implementation of this project. Okay. Sure, we'll come back to this if there's any questions. Next slide. What does success look like here? Well, these are kind of all the standard things. I guess bottom line is, for us, success looks like we've moved all of the counties into a single system that is very modern, very user-friendly, and very vendor-supportive for ongoing enhancements and new functions and features for them as they go forward. So they'll all be able to operate from that. They'll have a single repository for accessing data and understanding the more statewide ramifications of activities that are happening around juveniles. That gives us a single database. It eliminates much of the integration complexity we have as we have to build out feeds to federal systems or Department of Child Safety, all of those kind of things. We can do that in one way rather than in multiple ways that have to be done today. And our intention is that by June of 2026, the majority of the probation staff statewide, this project looking just at the juvenile side of that, but statewide, all probation will be pretty much trained and up and running on that. You see that 85% number there on the statewide, because at June of 26 is our biggest county on. So there could be some trail on people who are still coming off of the old system and training up on the new system. Okay, and I think that concludes my presentation. Any questions?
All right, well, that will open it up to the committee for questions. I will start things off. Carl, we can flip back to the project cost slide. Again, my understanding is what you're looking at is it's a COTS SaaS-based solution. What are the hardware costs?
The hardware costs are really on our development side. It's components that we're putting in place for not only some of our internal development for conversion and that, and for our integration components. So this system needs to have a fairly substantial integration into our trial court case management systems, off to the federal NICS reporting systems, Department of Child Safety, a bunch of component partners we have to put out there.
Okay, thank you. Other questions from the committee? Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, Carl, how aggressive do you think that implementation timeline is?
Well, I think because I've been watching it, it's the same time frame as we're putting on the adult side. And we did in the beginning find that it felt a little aggressive on our first track. But as we've programmed that out, we're finding that we have no problem meeting the end date. So the time frame, the total time frame of the project, I think we're pretty solid on. The biggest concern, to be honest with you, I have with the project, and we've discussed it with the project team and may adjust it slightly, but is you see that track at the bottom, I think it was called track 4, there were 8 counties coming live all at once. I'm concerned about trying to bring 8 counties on all at once, but there's plenty of time in the project time frame if we needed to break that into 2 implementations and still complete it by June of 26.
Got it. Yeah, and just the idea of, you know, when you have that initial pilot running all the way across or a majority of the timeline, it's just how much time you have to apply the learnings from that into future phases before you have all your irons in the fire at the same time.
Yeah, and the vendor has committed to substantially staffing much of that rollout activity. So our ability to handle that many counties at once is really reliant on the vendor's ability to put manpower, feet on the ground to help power that into a business.
So do they have experience implementing this in other states?
They do. Now, on the delinquency side, dependency is a new component for them. And that's why we're putting that kind of as a special phase where we're deciding, you know, just do we go forward with that and complete a full move of all juvenile activities into this system, or are we better served leaving that outside? I think we lean towards we want it all in one system, but devil from the details.
Thank you.
Carl, if I can ask another question. You know, because you're using the same platform, same vendor, and you've got overlapping implementation timelines on the two projects, can you speak to, maybe confirm or, you know, articulate? It sounds like you've got different teams within the, you know, within the courts that are going to be working on their respective elements of the project. How about your, you know, your partner in this case? Are there any overlaps? Do you have truly 100% dedicated separate teams? Knowing that you've got, you know, again, part of the benefit is you don't have to integrate things together, but there's got to be some overlap in, you know, data structures and configurations and those types of things. So how has that been thought about?
Yeah, I questioned the vendor about that quite a bit because I wanted to make sure they could handle two of these in parallel. Kind of their response to me is, you do realize we're Tyler Technologies, right? We have a much bigger world of automation than just what Arizona's working on. So as long as they had the time to plan for it, they convinced me they have the resource capacity to be able to put to it. So while I presented it as very unique and separate, certainly our implementation teams are separate from that. Their project management teams are separate project management teams and trainers. There'll be a crossover probably at the development level, right? Some of the, because it's a common code base, right? So, but the other area that we're trying to leverage heavily is the integration model. So the adult probation system needed to integrate to the case management systems as well. So we've been moving towards a consolidated model where all of those things are architected as single interface points. So I don't have to build and maintain two different interface points as we cross those. And we're doing that with the prosecutor systems. We're doing that with various components like that to make sure we get leverage on.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've asked the right questions. I'm really big. I don't know if that feels like a great answer, but I've heard that, you know, like I'll say we collectively, I think, have, you know, heard things like that before. So that's just something I think for the project teams, you know, to be watching is if, you know, contention starts to be apparent that you could pull them back to the table and remind them they're the big guys and how they're going to ensure that they hold to your timelines.
Yeah. Well, I've had a very good relationship with them on the adult side. They understand how big the Arizona account is, and it is important to them, and they do seem to prioritize our needs as we bring them to them. So far, so good.
Good, good. All right, any other questions from the committee? If not, Jeff, I'll hand it back to you.
Sure. Let's move this slide forward to the voting slide. Here's our recommendations, Mr. Chairman. ADOA Asset is recommending the bid to be approved with the conditions as presented.
Okay, these are our standard conditions. So any discussion on those? If not, let's move forward to our vote slide. And I'll take a motion with regard to the project. Oh, before we go to vote, I will call out again. Mr. Byers is recusing himself. And so this will be just the remaining members of the committee that will be voting.
Mr. Chair, this is Eddie. I move to approve with conditions.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
Chair, this is Jaggi. I'll second.
Thank you, Jaggi. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And we've noted Mr. Byers' abstention. All right, that's the unanimous vote. Good luck with the project, Carl.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we had our new member, Representative Michael Carbone, join us. I want to put that on the record since it's a recorded meeting. Welcome him to the ITAC committee.
Yes, welcome, Representative Carbone.
Yes, thank you for glad to be here.
Well, pleasure to have you with us. Please feel free to participate as much as you would like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll move ahead to our next item in our agenda, which is this is a change request from the Department of Education with regard to the school finance payment system.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michael Carpenter. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Education who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. The school finance payment system was originally approved by the committee in January of 2020. The project team is here today seeking approval to amend the project timeline and scope in order to implement critical system upgrades and updates to priority enhancements to meet business needs. If approved, the proposed changes would extend the project end date from April 24th, 2024 to June 28th, 2024. I'll now turn the time over to the project team to present additional information regarding the project and answer any questions you may have.
Speaking with my mic off. Thank you, Michael, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. And welcome to the new members of the committee. Thank you. I'd like to introduce today myself, Beth Neely, Chief Information Officer for the Department of Education. We have with us Kieran Nero, who is our Director of IT Program Management. We have Tim McCain, who's our Deputy Associate Superintendent and the product owner of the School Finance Payment System. We have Suda Mantrapragada, who is our project manager, and we have Clyde Neb, who is the IT architect. Next slide, please. I'd like to start with a brief overview and a thank you to members of this committee and to the team members that are on the call. This project began and was first approved on February 3rd of 2020. And we are now 7 months away of completing a four-year project and the journey to replace the school finance payment system. So for those of you who have been along for the journey, thank you very much. And it's been a great journey for all of us. So to start with an overview, the prior CR was approved on August 10th, 2022. And that was to move to phase three. It included some core functionality, which was the release of the new finance system. It included data sharing configurations with some of the external agencies. It included automation of the remaining manual miscellaneous payments, and of course, the superintendent's annual financial report. We are here today seeking approval to extend the project timeline and modify the scope, and I will review these with you now. Next slide, please. The request that we have is to extend the timeline from April of 2024 through June 30th of 2024. Some of the scope adjustments that I'll discuss a little bit later is we're going to be eliminating some of the low priority enhancements. It included the adjustment review tool of functionality and some cosmetic enhancements that were originally on the list. We're going to be adjusting some of the timelines for the CEC payment critical deliverable date. We're going to adjust some UAT timelines for the county jail and the juvenile payments portion. Adding our .NET upgrade to the system is included in the scope change, and a few additional enhancements requested. There will be no budget or no impact to the budget for this change. Next slide, please. A couple of the primary factors which is impacting this need for change is the need to update our .NET version. We're currently sitting at core 3.1, which has ended its support. And the extended support that we really didn't anticipate to deliver the SAFR reports. So those are two of the primary reasons we're needing to request this change. And as you can see that we're adjusting the timelines, and that is the reason for the extension of the timeline to accommodate these issues. Next slide, please. Some of the critical items that we're adding to the scope is, as discussed, the .NET migration going from 3.1 to .NET 8 and the need to do a full regression testing of the system to make that happen. In our latest lessons learned, we previously determined that there was a critical need for us to definitely make sure that we spend some time performance tuning and load testing. So we've added some additional time in the scope to ensure that performance tuning is going to kind of be at the database level doing indexing. And while we're looking at load testing tools for school finance payment system, we'll be looking to implement that through the entire agency for our quality team. So those are the critical condition additions to the scope. Next slide. As discussed, the push is to the end of June. For the payment system, the overall end date will be June 5th, 2024. We made some changes to the county jail and the county juvenile UAT end dates have been changed to 27. We had some legislative changes dates that have been modified to start in February and end on May 31st. That is the change to the payment system. Next slide, we can talk about the finance payment system portion of the changes. The finance system overall end dates is moved to 6/14, and this will be to accommodate the load testing and the performance tuning added to the timeline for that portion. And now we can go to the next slide and we can look at the timeline graph. The timeline graph depicts everything we kind of discussed in the previous slide. You can see the yellow kind of talks about what is in progress. The CEC payment, payment system enhancements are in process, and finance system enhancements are currently in process. The small dots on there are just some quick deliverables that are independent of the .NET upgrade. And the final two pushes that you see in June after the June 15th and the June 14th date are to promote that new .NET version into production. So that is our request today. Next slide. Again, if there are any questions, myself and the team are here to answer those questions.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Byers.
Beth, you mentioned making some modifications to the schools and the sheriff's jail and the detention centers. Is that what those are, the accommodation schools that we operate in our juvenile detention centers?
That is a miscellaneous payment, but if Tim is on here, I would feel better if Tim actually described from the business portion. Is Tim on here? If not, Suda would probably answer that for you, Mr. Byers. I want to make sure I give you an accurate answer.
Good afternoon. This is Sudha. Can you please repeat your question, Mr.
Byers? Yeah, Beth mentioned some modifications to the components that are related to the sheriff's jails and the county detention. Is that, you know, we operate schools, accommodation schools, I think they're called, in our juvenile detention centers. And I think the sheriff does the same thing. Is that what you're referring to, those schools?
No, this is the county jail and county juvenile. The payments that the school finance team makes on a regular basis throughout the year, the payment processing is done at the end of the fiscal year. So we are just moving the UAT date to the end of the fiscal year.
I'm not sure, Suda, that we're answering Mr. Byers's question, and I'm not seeing Tim on here, but it is the school's payments that are run by the jails and the county.
Those are juvenile detention centers.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. That answers the question.
You're welcome. Okay, sorry about that. Thank you.
Beth, I have a question. Yes. In your presentation, you reviewed, you know, there were a few items that were being eliminated, a few items added. There's always, I'll say, trade-offs in a project, right? Can you talk about the process of engagement and how the business stakeholders participated in the selection of what was going to be eliminated and what was going to be added?
Yes, I'm going to let Suda, I'm going to turn that over to you and your process as the project manager and how you worked with the business to go through those priorities and what was added and removed.
Sure, thank you. So we did an extensive meetings, you know, set of meetings with school finance business. We went through the existing list of items. We reprioritized, and as we went through those sessions with the school finance team, we had the budget analyst team and the payments team. They sat with us together to discuss those items and any cosmetic enhancements that they could live with. We've put them in the low priority, and anything that had to do with functionality, you know, that enhances the functionality was prioritized. And that was a process we did basically to reprioritize and put the cosmetic enhancements on the low. And we brought the higher ones into the schedule.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the committee members?
Thank you.
If there are none, turn it back over to you, Michael. We're not getting your audio, Michael.
Mr. Chairman, looks like Michael's having some difficulties. This is the easy part, so I'll step in. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, ASSET recommends approval of the change request for the School Finance Payment System project. The conditions as listed.
And just for clarification for the committee, while this is more than the I'll say our what we call our standard list, this is the same list of conditions that have been attached to this project during its life cycle. So no changes on that front. So with that, if there are no questions about the conditions, we can step forward. And I will take a motion with regard to the project. I'm sorry, the change request.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve the change request as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chair, it's Eddie. I'll second.
Thank you, Eddie. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, that's a unanimous vote. Great progress on this, Beth and team. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you.
All right, next item up is a change request coming to us from the Department of Revenue on the state tax system.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Revenue who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of the project change request. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on June 16th, 2023, ADOA ASSET approved the original project investment justification, PIDGE number RV23006, for the Department of Revenue to start the discovery and planning phase for the State Accounting and Reconciliation System, otherwise known as STARS. The Department of Revenue is requesting approval for this scheduled change request to include time, scope, and budget as the project is ready to move into the next 12 months of the 18-month project phase. I will turn it over now to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions that you may have.
I was double muted. Looks like I may be up first. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, appreciate your time today. My name is Robert Woods. I'm the director of the Department of Revenue. I'm also serving as the executive sponsor for the STARS project here at the agency. As we were preparing our presentation today, my budget director took me through the explanation of our app that spans multiple fiscal years And even though I've been in state government for 10 years, it quickly becomes confusing. So I'm going to explain our app the way it makes the most sense to me. We are in the discovery phase of a project. The discovery phase, which started in August, is an 18-month process end-to-end. Our current budget allocation that was already approved by ITAC will run out in February of 2024. Given that the discovery stage is 18 months, what we're asking for today are, I suppose, two things. One, approval of budget so that in February we can keep moving on the discovery phase. And secondly, an amount of funding that would carry us through to the end of the discovery phase in February, March of 2025. Our team will take you through a few more detailed slides, but certainly welcome and appreciate any questions you all have.
Cool. Next slide, please. Awesome. Thank you, Rob. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Zach Sharp. I'm currently a Deputy Assistant Director and Business Lead for the Department of Revenue STARS project. As a reminder from the June 2023 ITAC meeting, the overall scope of the STARS project is to replace the department system of record, the taxpayer accounting system, with GCOM's RevHub integrated tax system. RevHub will house all internal business functions for all of the department's tax types. It will also include a full replacement of the department's current external facing portal, AZ Taxes, as well as the various reporting and shadow systems that are currently utilized for operations. The procurement was led by the State Procurement Office. DOR played a key role in this procurement, including evaluating the solution in the formal demonstration and hands-on lab session. In June of 2023, as Bob mentioned earlier, the project was favorably reviewed by the JLBC and ITAC, and the contract was awarded at the end of June of 2023. The contract does call for an 18-month discovery and planning phase, which kicked off on August 8th of this year, and it's continuing as we speak. The overall scope of the project of the discovery and planning phase is to develop and approve project deliverables, deploy the initial software environment, plan the implementation phases in more detail, and to perform discovery and initial configuration planning. Next slide, please. Now that we've given you an overview of the project, now on to today's requests. As Director Woods mentioned earlier, the scope of this planned change request is to align the budget, schedule, and milestones to the project, to the contract. As mentioned earlier, the contract requires an 18-month discovery and planning phase. The FY23 appropriation that was favorably approved last summer by ITAC and JLBC is scheduled to be fully utilized by February of 2024, which is 6 months into this phase. Approval of this change request that will begin the process for approval to begin spending the FY24 appropriation that was signed into law last summer, which allows the project to continue. It will also align the current PIDGE to include the full 18 months, which is scheduled to end in February of 2025, as well as incorporating all of the project milestones agreed upon by ADOR and GCOM. Now I'll turn it over to Laura Lee Hudgens, who will cover the project timeline and additional milestones.
Thank you, Zach. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Laura Lee Hudgens. I am currently the project manager for the STARS project. This plan change request will bring the budget, scope, and schedule in alignment with the 18-month discovery and planning phase. The timeline shows the original PIDGE schedule from the project start in August of 2023 through February of 2024, a total of 6 months. The timeline also shows, the revised timeline for the plan change request, which is 12 months, taking us through the completion of the 18-month discovery and planning phase in February of 2025. Next slide, please. As part of the plan change request, the original milestones have been aligned with GCOM's project strategy and schedule documents. The original milestones that have no revisions are scheduled to complete as planned as part of STARS project initiation. Next slide, please. The rest of the original milestones that have been revised were previously due at the end of the 18 months per the contract. So we have extended the timeline to align with that 18-month schedule. For example, the implementation plan and schedule are due per contract in February of 2025 at the end of the discovery and planning phase. Next slide, please. New milestones have also been added to align with the remainder of the 18-month planning phase. These milestones reflect activities in the subsequent 12 months. Key new milestones include the completion of the remainder of the discovery and planning activities, which aim to develop a deep understanding of the requirements and ADR's business needs and processes. Another key milestone is the delivery of committed deliverables outlined in GCOM's project strategy and schedule documents, such as the requirements traceability matrix, technical environment design, data conversion, and system security plans. I will now hand it back over to Zach. Next slide, please.
As mentioned earlier, the FY23 appropriation is anticipated to be expended by February of 2024. Approval of this change request by ITAC and the ask report by JLBC will give access to the FY24 appropriation already approved by the legislator and signed into law. It will also expand the overall timeline of the planning and the discovery phase to the full 18 months to align with the contract, as well as aligning the project milestones that were developed prior to the award of the contract to GCOM's project strategy and schedule and documents. I'll now hand it over to Joey Estrada, who will review the financial impact of this change request.
Thank you, Zach. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Joey Estrada, I'm the Budget Director for the Department of Revenue. Today, we are requesting a portion of the FY24 appropriation. This will cover the cost for the planning and discovery phase. And we have 2 years to spend this funding, and it will cross over into the next fiscal year. The current approved funding of $14.9 million, this was from our FY23 appropriation. The new request is for $16.6 million that will fund this phase through February of FY25. I will now turn it back over to Zach for any questions you may have. Next slide, please.
Thank you so much, Joey. And with that, that is the end of our presentation, Mr. Chairman. We will now open up to any questions that the committee may have.
All right. Thank you. Committee members, do you have any questions? Go ahead, Rebecca.
I just wanted to understand the budget a little bit more, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The $31 million, is that just to complete the planning and stages? Is that the total cost for that? Or are there other components of development that are being funded out of the $31.6 million?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Pereira, thank you for the question. That is correct. The $31 million will get us through the planning and discovery phase. That will end in February of 2025. That is correct.
Go ahead, Mr. Byers.
I guess as a follow-up, what's the estimated cost to all the way to implementation?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Byers, thank you for the question. Can you clarify, please? Are you talking the whole project from start to the end of it?
Well, yeah, $31 million, I understand what you just answered, was just the discovery. So
yes.
After discovery, you have to implement, right? So what's the ballpark figure of implementation of this system?
Yeah, so the original budget request that we submitted in way back in 2022 pegged the total project at $104 million. That's the estimate at this point. So the $31 million will get us to the end of the discovery phase. And then once that's completed, we'll be back to request additional appropriation for the implementation and pieces of the project. But yeah, that's correct. We're just talking planning and discovery, $31 million. We do have scheduled appropriations going forward all the way to FY28 that we, way back when we got this approved. So there's a plan that, $104 is the overall estimate at this point, but we'll be back in probably a year to request those additional monies.
Okay. All right, we got a queue now. Chuck, do you have something urgent we need to get up on?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just a little clarification, Mr. Sharp, if I could. Within this discovery phase, we've made a substantial investment into the product itself. Could you explain that to the committee? I think what they're trying to get to is understanding, besides just documenting the requirements, what else are we investing in this discovery phase that's driven us up to that $31 million mark?
Awesome. Yeah, Director Wood, would you mind taking this one, please? Absolutely. I was triple muted there. I believe there was an $8 million payment for the software that was made fairly early on in this project. That is a substantial piece of what you're seeing that our budget director stated for the $14 million already appropriated.
Thank you, Director Wood. That's what I was trying to get to, Mr. Chairman. So I think you can move forward with questions.
I thought that was on my list. I was going to wait, though, so thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Mr. Carbone.
Yes, thank you. So, and forgive me, because this is my first meeting with the committee. And so when I'm looking at this original budget, this phase was $14.9 million, right? For FY24 original. Now there's a request for an additional 6.8. Am I understanding that correct?
Yes, that is correct. So the original 14.9, this is a plan change request. When we went to JLBC and did the ask report, the 14.9 was just to get us out of the gate, right? So the contract was awarded at the end of June. We did a projection out for that original $14.9 million appropriation that took us to right around February of 2024. So this is all, you know, all in the plan. The 14.9 was all that we had appropriated at the point where we received the approval last year. So this is essentially additional funds that will get us all the way through the full planning and discovery period.
Okay, so but in the original request, was it always expected to need $31 million, or was it the project was supposed to be fulfilled at $14.9? I'm just trying to understand.
No, so sure. Yeah. So we've received that 14.9 out of our FY23 appropriation. That was planned to be expended in February. This additional $16 million is actually coming out of the FY24 appropriation that was approved over the summer. And that'll get us to a complete Joey, our budget director, if you can help out, that would be appreciated as well. If you have anything to add, if your hand is up.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, between FY23, our appropriation FY23 and FY24 is about $35 million.
Okay.
So it's within the budget limits.
Okay, perfect. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Everyone.
With that, we'll go to Mr. Lang.
I have two questions. So one, from an ITAC perspective, is there any reason that you all aren't presenting the full scope of this initiative? I realize there's other governing bodies where you're going for approval to actually expend funds, but I can say it's really challenging to track how this whole project is laying out when we're just getting it in pieces to approve. So I guess that's a little bit of commentary, but is there anywhere where you have information on how the whole 100 and however million unfolds and layers into this initiative?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lang, thanks for the question. Joey, would you mind commenting on that one as well?
So we do have our budget request that is out on our website that will take you through each year, and that would outline it will basically outline the budget for each year from FY23 all the way up through 28. It does ask for personal services, contractors, the vendor that, you know, we didn't know at the time that was selected is GCOM. Go ahead. Did somebody have a follow-up question?
And I can clarify further what I'm looking for. How do you expect the committee to get comfortable with the entire project scope, how you're laying in professional services and plan to get to the finish line if we can't see the full picture of how you're approaching the implementation?
Yeah, so I can answer the money portions, but I think Zach, you're going to have to take on the details.
Actually, Rob, I see your hand up. Would you mind taking this one? Absolutely, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Lang. It's a fair question for you to ask. I would ask the same question if I were sitting in your chair. So the activities of the discovery period are well outlined. During a feasibility study, we looked at 20 or so implementations of similar systems across the country to see how a 5 to 6 year implementation lays out. What we know is that a majority of states that have done this have converted their tax types in four major waves. The first wave of the, really the most complex thing we're gonna do is switch over the tax types from our existing system to the new system. The order and the chunking of how we do that is the most complex decision we're gonna make here. That sequencing is still being developed in partnership with GCOM. That I believe we're going to have that by the end of December. Zach, you can correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of those discussions. But we also have to remain agile enough to change that plan as we go along. But as we sit here today, that plan is still being worked on. So I would say that to answer your question, we fully expect more regular check-ins as needed with bodies like this and are happy to do so.
I can propose something maybe going forward both to ITAC staff and the committee that we incorporate some of that high-level information off of the DOR website about the overall project, the overall estimates, the high-level schedule. And then we can lay in for any change request or update, sort of where are we in that overall cycle? How are we tracking to plan? And I think that would provide the sort of context that Mr. Lang's looking for here. Mr. Myers?
I'm sorry, just to follow
Rebecca. I'll come back to you, Rebecca.
Oh, wait, I have one more question before we move on. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Zach or team, could someone just explain when we talk about that $15 million going to software support and hosting, obviously there's going to be some startup fees whenever you're embarking on a project like this, but what specifically is that going towards? Is that infrastructure? Is it licensing? Is what we're spending that money on already being leveraged? That's a lot for Discovery. Yeah. I'm just trying to better understand where that's pointed to.
Yeah, one of those items is the $8 million license fee that Rob mentioned earlier. Tom Rickoff is here. He's our deputy CIO. Tom, would you mind adding additional context on some of those technical questions, if you wouldn't mind?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Lang. So the initial monies in that FY24 original, that major portion of that was standing up infrastructure in AWS and basically bringing up the system in AWS. So that provided our installation with a testing environment. So as they, use the discovery phases that we're going through, they are actually building out configuring to DOR's requirements. And that's the environment that they're hosting that installation in. So we already own that installation, and it's going to be used throughout the process from a test bed perspective.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now I'm going to try and go in order. Rebecca.
Some additional questions, Mr. Chair, if I may. on the budget. And it's still related to a lot of what is already being talked about in terms of the software costs being so high. But my recollection is that the vendor has components of this, but doesn't have a complete operating tax system. And so by my calculation, the vendor is getting more than half of their total project funding up front. And I was wondering if you had perspective on how the milestones and the total project costs are like being split between internal costs and vendor costs. My second question is related to the 2025 budget. And it sounds like you won't need that until February of fiscal year 2025, or February 2025, which is almost the end of fiscal year 25. So has DOR done any rebasing of potential budget like appropriations compared to its new project now that it has onboarded an agent, a vendor?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Pereira, thanks for the questions. Joey, would you mind talking more about the budget piece specifically?
Yeah, I could speak to the budget piece. I won't be able to speak to the milestones, but the way we have it laid out is, let me see, I have some calculations here. Out of the 2025 requested funding, the majority of that is to GCOM. The remaining is internal. So what will happen is in FY25 February, we will finish this phase. We still have a little bit of remaining appropriation that we will need. Obviously, we'll have to come back here and ask for, it's about $2.7 million. But I've already outlined over the next few years, as long as everything goes as planned, we should ask for that 2.7 next February, as well as a portion of the FY25 appropriations. Now, how that all equates and balances to the milestones, I will ask my team to answer any of those questions.
Tom, would you mind speaking to the milestones?
But maybe for clarity, everything that's proposed here is going against the FY24 appropriation, even though some of the work crosses into fiscal 25.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
You got it.
And Ms. Pereira, would you mind repeating your question on the second part, if you wouldn't mind?
Can we cover the second part first? Well, but the first part, it just still seems like it's a lot of money going up front to the vendor. They're getting almost half of their contract up front relative to the total cost of the project, which is roughly $100 million.
Got it. Tom, would you mind? Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Ms. Pereira. So the original, and this will be a little history on this, the original RFP was written more for a CAM type software, off the shelf, buy it, up and running in a short period of time, and then the rest of the implementation would be focused on the rollout of separate tax types. Because of the way the legislation outlined the competitive bidding process, we had to make sure that we gave, you know, a fair shot to other vendors that possibly were breaking into the market. And it so happens that GCOM, you know, was by far the, you know, least expensive bid and met the intent of the legislation that we were working with from a bid process perspective. So the original RFP indicated that in the first 6 months of the engagement, that's when we would, you know, do the initial stand up and buy of the application. And then shortly after that first 6 months, you would be bringing up tax types. So through BAFO, we had to change the terms of the contract and the intent of, you know, how it was bid, based on knowing that they were going to come in and spend a considerable amount of time with us working through detailed requirements associated with, you know, our ability to manage taxes from A to Z, all of the different third-party, you know, applications, and they're not all third-party, but entryway applications into our current tax system. So we have to basically plan to consume all of those into the new application itself. So hence, between them and the state, through negotiations during the BAFO process, both entities agreed that the first 18 months would be, you know, that discovery phase, which is really about helping them understand our wants and needs and build out the application throughout that phase. From a pure business perspective, if you look at the payment schedule, some of these upfront are front-loaded payments are definitely helping them manage development staff on the back end that is working to fulfill the needs of our organization. So, you know, that's basically how this is built because of the vendor that we're working with to do this. They will be providing, from a milestone perspective, a great question earlier about where are we going, you know, over the next maybe 6 months or so, so everybody can get their arms around expectations of what we should see over the next 6 months. A milestone within the contract has them delivering a detailed WBS type plan to us in December. So we are in the middle of working back and forth with them right now to develop that plan, which will lay those footsteps out so everybody can kind of get their arms around, from an expectation perspective, what's going to happen over the next 6 or 8 months. Did that answer your question? Kind of clear things up a little?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question? Jerry, am I good? Or I
can't? Mr. Chairman, you're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Doug, we'll come back to you. I'm going to go to Mr. Byers.
Well, I think probably, at least as one committee member, these numbers are kind of staggering. And so I really appreciate GR's idea maybe of having DOR lay out the whole project, even though I know details may change along the way. But what I guess I'm now hearing is the company that's been selected does not have an off-the-shelf total tax system, and you've paid them $8 million in licensing costs to fund their staff working on discovery, educating them on the business. Let's say you get partway through discovery and you decide this isn't going to work with this company. Do they refund the licensing fees? I mean, it's highly unusual to pay all of the licensing fees completely up front rather than, you know, as things are delivered. So maybe it's an unfair question, but maybe it'd be good to review this whole project because it sounds a little risky. And I've been on ITAC a long time. The only other $100 million project I recall was the Guardian system, which was built from scratch. And frankly, that didn't go well. So $100 million gets my attention for sure. And maybe an overview of the project would be good at some point. Well, it's more of a comment than a question, I guess.
Thanks, Mr. Byers. Also, if any of the team from Revenue wants to step out on that limb with Mr. Byers.
JR, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is Director Woods. Happy to go into any depth of discussion that you want. I understand the perception of risk, the real risks that would occur on a project like this, being the first on deploying a technology like this. And yet, open fair procurement took place, and this is where we landed. So happy to have an in-depth discussion in any forum that makes sense.
Well, and maybe a good again, a couple minutes, not more than that, because we may need to take it offline. But just to talk to in that procurement process, the demonstration process, what the revenue team saw from the provider. You know, how did you arrive at a conclusion that this was going to be, you know, a viable product and a viable path?
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, thanks for the question. So we had over 40 DOR staff participate in that in the formal demonstration. It was 6 days. We did put hands on their system during that process. So and we did get positive feedback from everybody during that formal demonstration. So we did go in depth. We did use their system. They demonstrated it to us. So we did go through that during the procurement process, actually demonstrating their system.
As a follow-up to that, and this will be open to anyone that can answer it, in terms of of a percentage of the entire functionality that revenue was looking to achieve with the product, how much, you know, what is an estimate of what GCOM has and then what the gap is?
Tom, would you mind taking that one, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, from a functionality perspective, Zach, I think they're kind of asking about from a demo, how much did they provide to, you know, the end user community from a percentage of requirements that we had in the RFP? And I think that's in your wheelhouse. But I do want to add something to what Zach said. There was also external stakeholders that were on that RFP review committee from cities. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that, you know, we had external folks looking at this also.
And during the procurement process, we had a list of requirements that we asked GCOM to demonstrate during that as well. I want to say it was 120, 130, somewhere in there. So they did demonstrate all of those requirements, and they showed us that they either could meet all those requirements today, or they could do it through configuration down the road.
Okay. So I'll say, kind of coming back around, and I don't mean to put you in a corner, but I'm trying to help the committee understand, did GCOM appear to demonstrate 25% of the functionality that you needed, 50% of the functionality you needed, 80% of the functionality you needed? You know, how much is the perception from the team that was really looking at the evaluation? How much is in the product versus needs to be created by GCOM as part of this engagement?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the question. Hard to put a percentage on that. We do know, so their bread and butter is analytics and collections, case management, audit and collections, case management as well. So, while that's that's an important part of what we do, the meat and potatoes piece, the returns processing, the revenue accounting and things like that, that's the thing that we're going to have to build further in here. So we know that they can, select audits. We know that they can do collections work. We know that they can do income modeling for the legislator, for example. What I've always called is the meat and potato items. That's where we're going to have to work with them to help configure and make sure that we're all that everybody's in agreement on the requirements and we go from there. Putting a percentage on that would be hard. If anybody members from the team would mind doing that.
Yeah. Zach, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is Rob, the director. I propose that we have that direct dialogue with GCOM and get back to the committee in short order, if you're amenable to that.
Okay. Let's go on.
I mean, at this stage, yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I mean, at this stage, I don't think our goal is to sort of recompete, but I think if it's a fair question that was asked, and I think we can involve our vendor in giving this committee a very detailed answer.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good offer. Thank you, Director. Mr. Lang, we'll go back to you.
And that might solve, I think, a lot of my questions. I just had one. Tom, you had mentioned something about over the next 6 months further defining a work breakdown structure. Was that in relation to future phases of the project, or was that in relation to the next 12 months?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Lang. Yes, the goal is to build out the WBS for the future of the project itself. Now, with that being said, during this 18-month period, there are a lot of moving pieces associated with, again, feeder systems, external third parties we work with to do different functions for us. It's a pretty complex landscape. And our goal is, during that 18 months, to really review the pros and cons of when to bring in individual tax types, where they best fit in that, you know, 3 or 4 year cycle of deployments. Not only is there technical stuff associated with those decisions, there's also business cycle stuff that's associated with it. Tax due dates that, you know, span different, you know, date. So that's where we really want to spend a lot of time during that first 18 months. And that's really planning out the subsequent 3 or 4 years of the actual deployments. So although we're calling it, you know, planning and discovery, getting our arms around, you know, the initial jitters of the project, getting the foundation laid from communication plan, you know, responsibilities matrix, all those things we're working on, you know, right now. The goal on that, and it is this December is the milestone for the, you know, WBS that they have to provide us. You know, of course, we want to build out as far out as we can, but if we can get a very detailed one associated with that first 18 months, and then during that 18 months, continue to build out subsequent years associated with, you know, all those variables I just talked about, when we should implement different tax types.
So in we, just, I would say a question for Zach, you or Director Woods, would this committee be in a better position to make a decision on approval based on some of that information being available?
Good time.
Rob, I can take that one. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Lang, we met yesterday in preparation for today, and we were saying exactly what you're saying. We had to, you know, have this ITAC meeting because of, you know, we have to get the funding in the pipe. But these questions you're asking, which are all valid, fair questions, we will have our arms around much better by the end of December. We will be able to, again, intelligently answer a lot of these at a much greater detail than what we can right now.
Tom, this is Director Woods. I completely agree with your answer and also the idea that this is the discussion we had yesterday, that this committee would be extremely well informed, as would us coming to you when that plan is finished in December.
Okay, Mr. Carbone.
Just to follow up on this question here, then I'll get to my couple of questions I had prior. When you say follow up in December, what does that mean and look like? Outside, you're saying you have all the answers or more answers that we're asking here, these questions. In the meantime, what do you, you know, what will that look like and what do you need now? Do we need an approval today?
So I think, August, I'll eventually answer on that. Director Woods, if you have something you want to offer, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think the critical time frame here is in February of 2024. We want to ensure that the project doesn't come to a halt when we exhaust current funding based on milestones. So I think that's sort of driving the timing on this. We want to keep moving, and that's when our current appropriation will be exhausted.
Okay, so with that in mind, Mr. Carbone, what I would offer then is there would not be a decision here today unless the group was ready to come back for our December 13th meeting, the next opportunity for ITAC would be in January. And that's when we would hear the additional details, revisit this conversation, ensure the questions are answered to the satisfaction of the committee, and then we would have a vote.
Okay. All right. Then, Mr. Chairman, I'll go to my original question, which was to follow up with what Mrs. Pereira brought up. And made some good points. When we deal with procurement and such, what is the procedure or statute in when you based on for performance, right? Because I think she had mentioned that over half the money was expended up front, and that was basically done through the procurement process. What's that process like? I thought you had to perform before you can expend. Could you answer that for clarity? Does that make sense on that question?
I believe I understand your question. I think the hesitation is that no one on the call is actually a procurement officer.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck, do you have something you want to offer?
I can make an attempt to try and answer the question to the best ability. So in this procurement and what's being expended in this budget plan so far, the agency has stood up an environment in which they can bring RevHub into it. They've paid for a perpetual license for the software itself, even though it's going to be continuing to be developed on. So that's not a year over year. And correct me if I'm wrong on that one, Zach, but I believe it's a perpetual license that's been purchased. And then the associated labor hours or things actually being done and paid for. So I don't want to have the discussion create the false perception that the vendor has been paid for a whole bunch of work in the end, but the end product, that's correct, Representative Carbone, the end product won't be here for a while, and they are accepting payments on that. Most of it's professional services, standing up our cloud environment in which the system will exist, and also paying for that perpetual license up front. A lot of the labor going in right now is around that environment, but also in the requirements gathering and planning out of how are they going to take all of these different needs and functionality for the state, add it into the solution, and then figure out what tax types are going to be best for us to roll out in a staged rollout period, right? So there's going to be rollout. It's not going to be one massive big bang for the state where everybody goes at once. It'll be different tax types be brought into the system. So that's not a procurement expert's answer, but hopefully it adds at least a little bit of clarity.
Yeah, if we can find that information, that'd be helpful, I think, for our next meeting. And then my other question was, we talked about our appropriations are set up so the 24-25, correct? There's appropriations for up to then, and or 23-24 is that? It's the final, where it exhausts all funds. What's that date?
Joey, would you mind taking this one?
Yeah. So most of our, so we've already, we've received the FY23 appropriation. We plan to be completed with that in February. I think we have an IVMB payment that will be in March, but there will be no funding remaining February. I would say the second pay period in February, so the end of the month, is when we will exhaust any funds for our staff or any contractors that we've employed. So it will be February.
But I, right, and I'm speaking to the project, correct?
Mr. Chair, may I request something that I think might get to Mr. Carbone's question? Something that I was thinking would be helpful in the next meeting is to see a breakthrough, a breakout of the expenditures for by project category, by fiscal year, by appropriation, because we're looking at 2-year appropriation windows and 1-year funding. And this project has a long, several more years of appropriations, but those are based off of projections from 2 years ago before a contract was based. So like what I heard earlier was like, you only might need an additional $3 million, $4 million in 25 to finish your 25 year. But the projection a long time ago is $20 million. So it might be nice to see what your expected drawdown of the total budget is, to see if it needs to be realigned, just because, as you know, there are budget discussions about shortfalls overall. So it's not saying to cut the project budget or to make any changes, but just to look and see if there's ways to structure it that might get your project done, but also assist with planning and budgeting at the state.
You're correct, and that's where I'm going, because, and I'm talking specific to this project, not the department. On the project, I heard earlier that we'll probably have a little over $2 million over to continue the outside the discovery phase, then going into the deployment phase. Is that, am I saying that correctly? So when you get into that deployment phase, obviously that now you got everything done, everything's ready to roll. What is that? What and that'd be helpful to see that. What would that budget look like? Because the concern that, you know, that we all need to be thinking about is the whole budget for the state is going to be in a shortfall this year. So we want to protect this project. And that's where I was going with this. Thank you.
Got it.
Thank you.
And we're happy to, we're definitely happy to provide that information. Most definitely.
Okay. Mr. Byers.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I like your idea of, I guess, what we'd be doing is tabling this today and bringing it back in January. I can sense, I know I'm uncomfortable just not understanding everything. But when they come back, I would like to understand, like, sometimes there's reasons for doing this, but to pay 100% of that licensing cost at $8 million up front, it seems unusual to me. And I'd like to understand why, you know, why that was done. But that could be for January. So I'll move to table this project until the January meeting.
Do we have a second from the committee?
Hi, I'll second.
Thanks, Doug. All those in favor of tabling this to a future meeting?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. Again, I think this is a good, robust discussion today, folks. I think it's going to be very helpful in helping, I'll say, both the DOE's oversight team as well as the, you know, Department of Revenue prepare, come with, you know, the answers for the questions you're looking for. I think some more of the answers that they're looking for as well. So look forward to that. Director, do you have a final comment?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I think I speak for everybody on the team. We want to give you exactly the information you're looking for. So in preparation for that next meeting, if we can partner with Asset to put that together, we want to bring everything that folks need, and it will not be a short discussion.
So we'll make sure from a committee standpoint that our team captures the key discussion points and questions in our meeting today, that we ensure we have those on point to be addressed in the next meeting, or the next meeting where the project comes forward. We'll see what that is. All right. Thank you, everyone. We will go ahead and step forward to our next or last change request, I will say, which is Department of Economic Security with the JERS Child Care Attendance Tracking Solution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Economic Security who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of the project change request. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on December 15th, 2021, ADOA Asset approved the original project investment justification, bid number DE22003, for the Department of Economic Security Division of Child Care to procure the Child Care Attendance Tracking Solution. The Department of Economic Security is requesting approval for a change request for time only, extending the project so that the vendor can fix technical issues that currently exist with the attendance records. I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Chair, members, apologies. I had to drop my microphone, was not working. Appreciate Bob doing the introduction. Mr. Chair, members, thank you for the time today. For a refresh, joining me today are Clay Sykes, our Deputy CIO, Chief of Operations, and Yolanda Roberts, our Deputy Assistant Director for the Division of Child Care. Next slide, please. Mr. Chair, members, as a refresher, the original PIDGE request for this project, the application that was being purchased is an application to do child care attendance tracking. Historically, the department has used paper billing documents, which were mailed to providers to fill out and return to the agency in order to generate payment for child care expenses to vendors. This application is a third-party SaaS solution, which allows us to use basically point-of-sale type terminals to deploy those to child care providers and have them record their attendance, letting parents check their children in and out to verify that attendance and then submit that to the department for reimbursement. One of the things that we have been looking forward to with this application is the ability to automate this entire process rather than having to spend a lot of time and money to mail out those billing documents and then get them returned. Next slide, please. The change request before us today is to request an extension of time only. One of the things that the vendor, Kinder Systems, was required to do was to be able to interface with some of our larger child care centers that already have a time and attendance tracking system that they use, rather than having those vendors have to input information into multiple different systems. One of the requirements was to be able to interface with the Kinder Systems directly and therefore eliminate that duplicate data entry requirement. We have run into some technical issues. Kinder Systems and the third-party vendor are working through those right now to refine that API, the automated process to transmit that data between the vendor system and the Kinder System application, which we will be using. Right now, we've had to do manual intervention to get that API to work, and certainly we want that to be fully automated. So the vendor has requested additional time to be able to work through those issues, and therefore we are requesting the extension to the pitch. Next slide, please. The revised project timeline, as you can see, we were originally anticipating being live with full functionality by this point already. We're now looking at moving that out to potentially April 30th for the vendor to complete all of that work. We believe it will be before that. but we did want to give ourselves a little bit of additional time. And then also looking at final payment of invoices. Right now, we're looking at that at the end of April, certainly depending upon whether the vendor hits all of those milestones. We have some flexibility to extend that out to June 30th, but we are hopeful and confident that the vendor is going to get this situation resolved and we'll be able to do final payment of invoices around that April 30th timeline as well. Next slide, please. Again, this is just laying out the remaining project timeline, looking at the training materials and then also the staff training that will be coming starting in the next month or so, and then doing that final payment of invoices. I do want to stress that this, again, is only an extension of time. There is no additional cost associated with the work that the vendor will be doing. The contract that was put in place is a milestone-based contract, so no payment is made until the vendor hits that milestone. That is part of the reason that we're also extending that timeline for final payment for the project. Next slide. With that, Mr. Chair, members, I will entertain any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Any questions from the committee on this? Just for the record, Mr. Byers, you have your hand raised, so if that's not on purpose, you can take it down. Otherwise, we'll call on you. any questions? All right. If there are no questions, I'll turn it back over to you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. ASSET is recommending that the change request be approved with the original conditions as presented.
Okay. If there's no question or concern about the original conditions, we can move ahead, and I will take a motion with regard to this change request.
Mr. Chair, it's Eddie. I move to approve.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
Chairman, this is Jiggy. I can second.
Okay, Jiggy, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. That's a unanimous vote. Good luck, Mark. Continue on.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it. And we will continue to hold the vendor accountable. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Okay, folks, that concludes, I believe, our voting items for the day. And we have one final informational update coming to us from the Department of Education.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Modulin, and I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Education who will now introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their child nutrition program web replacement project.
Thank you, Justin, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Beth Neely, as indicated earlier, the Chief Information Officer for Department of Education. And today we have with us Melissa Connor, our Senior Deputy Associate Superintendent, who is the product owner. Myself, Kiran Nero, Director of our IT Program Management, Suchi Narla, who is our IT Project Manager on this, and Sid Franderson, who is the Product Manager and here with us from Link. Next slide, please. I am happy to be in front of you guys today giving an actual project status update on the CMP web information system. This project builds a customized CMP information system and claiming system, which maximizes the USDA program operations while also meeting the federal reporting requirements. At the time of this report, 99% of milestone one had been completed. The work had included the single sign-on effort and the serious deficiency module. Two training sessions have started, delivery updated from 10/18 to 11/17 for milestone one. I'm going to talk to you about some of those risks and mitigation in an upcoming slide. But before we move to the next slide, I do want to say at the stand-up meeting today, The team did report that milestone one is 100% completed. So great job, team, that's on the call. Next slide. Progress on milestone two. Milestone two is currently 42% completed. And milestone three at this time is 14% completed. Next slide. We'll take an overall look at the project timeline. The brown is in progress, blue yet not started. The status, it shows you these deliverables. Everything is staying the same. There's no change with the exception of that milestone one, which jumped from 10/18 to 11/17 that we discussed in the prior slide, but also has, as I had reported, milestone one did complete today and is finished. Next slide. Just a couple highlights in the progress since we had last met. Sprint 16, progress was made in the eligibility side, the contract email notifications, the display for the to-do notifications, and in Sprint 16, they had resolved four bugs or reported issues. Next slide. Sprint 15, progress, since we've last met, included some progress on notifications, some of the rollover items, and in Sprint 15, they had also resolved three bugs and reported issues. So great progress in these last two sprints from the team. Next slide. Reported risks and issues, as I kind of talked about previously, there was an identified risk that was converted to an issue on 10/19. We've currently closed one issue and we have two remaining open. You can see those there on the screen in front of you. The two issues that caused the push of milestone one from 10/18 to 11/17. It came from those two sprints and we mitigated it by moving the training modules regarded to those sprints to the end of the training session. So we did not change the timeline of the training. We just moved that portion to the end. That is what we did to mitigate it. Again, it did not impact the training schedule and has no impact in for milestone two and three due to the progress that has been made on modules two and three. So we are in good shape schedule-wise. Next slide, please. The current overall project health is yellow. You will see the milestone in the user stories for milestone one. We have in red. That is due to the fact that we pushed the due date out from 10/18 to 11/17, or for those two sprints, 15 and 16, that we just discussed. The primary item that was impacted by that was the advances, which is the advanced request module from the list that you see. So based on the information today, the progress that was made and the success of milestone one, I expect to see change on the user stories and the progress the next time that we meet. I'm going to have Sid jump in on the next slide and just give you guys a quick high level of the project burn down chart from Link.
All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I just wanted to touch base on the burn down charts for milestone one and the full project. We actually have two slides here. This first one is just going over the burn down of our current work items for milestone one and the full project as a whole. For one of the two teams that is working on this project, the Core 2 team, overall, of course, as Beth mentioned, milestone one has been closed out as of this morning. So we, while that does say two stories remaining, it is now actually zero. And the next time that we come to the committee, we will have updated burn down charts for milestone two and three to show more progress on those. And then our full project burn down is actually looking to be completely on track as far as our project completion for the project as a whole. Next slide, please. And then this was the burn down charts, same data, but for the other team, our core team that's working on the project. Again, as a reiteration, stories remaining on milestone one are zero now for this team as well. And we'll provide updated burn down charts for milestone two and three the next time that we come to the committee. And then full project burn down is looking in an even better place as far as being on track to be completed on time for that team.
Thank you, Sid. Next slide, please. Just some reminders of the finances. This again is a federally funded project. Vendor contract has not changed. The increase in the cost is to maintain the ADE IT resources. Again, this has not changed since the last time that we met. Noteworthy fiscal events, original PIDG approved, revised timelines in fiscal year 23. And we had met previously and you guys had approved our change request. So no changes or increases regarding funding. Next slide, we can look into the details. As you can see on this next slide, fiscal year 20, 21, and 22, and 23 are our actuals. Fiscal year 24 and 25 are projected. And just so that you guys are aware, and I want to clarify that we have not received any additional invoices or paid any additional money in fiscal year 24. So just so that I make everybody aware of that. And next slide, I believe, is Q&A. I do want to say we've had some good turnaround. I'm really excited to hear from the team, hear from Link, and the progress that we're making since we last met. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from the committee about this update? All right. Thanks, Beth, and good luck, and keep up the good fight.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we had one last item, which was an informational update from the HRIS team. I want to acknowledge that we are 8 minutes from the end of our planned time. This is not a voting item, but I also expect that we won't get through all of the material in that time frame. So respecting the committee members' times, if some of you need to jump off at 3, if you had comments or questions, I'd ask you maybe to go ahead and share those now based on your review. If you didn't have anything in advance, we will progress through the informational update. Those that can stay, we welcome that. And if you need to move on, we understand. Because we are recording, you will have the opportunity to review this prior to our next meeting. So, Justin, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Modulin again, and I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Administration who will now introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their HRIS modernization project.
Thank you, Justin, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am here today to provide an informational update on the status of the HRIS AZ360 project. I'm joined today by Sean Price, Deputy Director of the ADOA, and the HRIS Program Director. My name is Alba Valencia, and I'm the AZ360 HRIS Deputy Program Director. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. Just a brief description of the project. This is the project, HRIS project, that replaces the state of Arizona's aging enterprise HR system. It's a 20-year-old legacy system with a cloud-based application that provides products such as HR, benefits, payroll, and other functionality. This is a two-phased project. The first phase is the phase one or phase A, and that's the phase that we're currently in right now. The status of the project, the overall project, is red. I'll go through some status updates for you on that red status, and also talk about some ways that the project team is mitigating that red status and trying to get to a green status. The current phase of the project goes from November of 2022 through September of 2024. All right, so here's a project timeline. And as you can see, we're about halfway through the project. The go live, the current go live date is September of 2024. And we're currently working on what's called the integrated system testing, or IST phase of the project. There's quite a few upcoming items for this closeout of this calendar year, 2023, and also for 2024 prior to go live. As you see there on the timeline, there's things like UAT, user acceptance testing. There's also what's called parallel payroll testing. We're developing training materials, training trainers to deliver that training material, and having system demonstrations in preparation for agency UAT. So that's when we're going to engage with agency testers and have them, have hands-on experience with the system and be able to test it for themselves. So quite a bit of activity will happen between now and September of 2024. Next slide, please. All right, so here's a closer look at that red status. And as you can see, overall project status is red. However, a lot of what's contributing to that red status is the schedule, the project schedule. We've got a number of roadblocks that we're working through as a project team, including taking a good look at the scope, the project scope. We're looking at the velocity of the teams and their progress to that project plan. We're looking at level of effort for the individual task. So just a lot of close monitoring and management of the overall schedule. The other thing that goes hand in hand with the schedule are the resources. So as we go through and evaluate impacts to the schedule, there may be some members of the team who are moved around to different areas where they're needed, or we may augment the team by adding additional team members. There have been a number of resources added already to the CGI, the CGI project team. So we've added a number of resources there. And we'll continue to evaluate whether or not we need more resources. Quality and scope remains green. However, we are looking at, again, those impacts to scope, where it impacts the overall schedule. So there's a couple of decisions, and I'll go into this a little bit more if we have time, Mr. Chairman. I'll go into decisions recently that were made around historical data, and also what we're calling the benefits MVP, or minimum viable product. So those are two recent scope changes, scope evaluations that we made in order to evaluate whether or not they needed to be in the scope for go live. So that's why you see the arrow going down. Risk and issues, these are closely monitored. We currently have 22 open risks and 9 open issues. For a project of this size, that's not unusual. However, we do take a close look at that on a weekly basis for any mitigation action items that we need to do to mitigate those red and yellow risks. Okay, we can go to the next one. I won't spend too much time on this one. I do want to get to some of the other slides where we talked about some of the recent decisions. But here you can see some additional context for the functional and the technical team. They're the ones that hold the majority of the task for the entire project. And as you can see, we're addressing some of the roadblocks by adding a strategic group to address those roadblocks. We're dubbing that that group the Wrecking Crew because they're addressing all of the boulders in the project. And then the other thing that's a big impact or a roadblock is just the dependencies. The dependency on the technical team for developing, whatever it is, interfaces, reports, BI, conversions, that technical aspect of the project, there's a dependency, the functional team has a dependency on the technical team and vice versa. The technical team cannot move forward with development unless they get some key information from the functional team on the business side. So very dependent on each other, and which is why there's, so much impact to the resources on both of those teams. And please stop me if you have any questions along the way. I'm going to keep going in the just to address the timing issue. So here we've got a little bit more metrics surrounding the individual work streams. You'll see here data conversion is at 68% of where they need to be. So they're yellow only because we've got some roadblocks there that we need to address. BI 13%, interfaces 35%, and then security and workflow at 89%, and architecture is at 26%. So again, we're really focusing on those red and yellow items and taking a look at those individual roadblocks and whatever we can do to address those roadblocks to remove them and make sure that those work streams can move forward. So this is really where we are, red, as an overall project. This is just a diagram to show the dependency on some of the technical aspects of the project. You'll see there the data conversion really drives all of the other technical areas, such as interfaces, transactional data conversion, reports. You really need those reference tables to be complete before you can go into those other aspects of the project. And then those items there in that middle column really drive the testing for integrated system testing and for user acceptance testing. So without those data conversion reference tables, some of these other items or tasks cannot be complete. So we're really trying to address data conversion overall. And you'll see there on the right-hand side the fact that, we've got over half that have not been started. So 74 completed, but 73 have not been started. So right around half. And so we have to address those and make sure that those 73 reference tables are completed. So I want to just go over just a couple of these items. I mentioned before the benefits MVP and the historical data decision. Those are really the ones that we're going to go over today in the informational update. However, you can find some more information about a discussion we had about baselining the project, developing a project plan, adding resources, and also disposition of interfaces. You can get some more information in the appendix about those, but what I want to focus on today is those two things, benefits MVP and the historical data decision. So we'll go to the next slide. Okay, so we recently gathered some information on change requests. You'll see there the benefits CRs. Those are change requests that the team evaluated for scope, for impact as far as does this need to be done prior to go live or at go live, or can this happen after go live? And that's what the minimum viable product was the goal of the minimum viable product. So we went through these change requests and evaluated each one for exactly that, whether or not it was necessary at go live, and gave that information to CGI and requested that they come back with a level of effort, with cost, and how they were going to solution these items, whether or not they would be solutions that would be delivered with the go live or at the time of go live. We delivered a demand letter, I'm sorry, a vendor performance report to CGI on October 12th. We just recently got the results of that, and they're still being evaluated by the team. So I can give a report on where we landed with these items on the next informational update. I can make sure that we do that. Okay, so here on the historical data, we evaluated several options. And this is for the storage of the state's HRAS historical data. So there were three options that we evaluated for the viability of being able to implement these options prior to go live. And really that's what we were grading or basing the criteria on, is whether or not we could implement these options prior to go live. So you see there's option A. This is basically, we don't do anything except keep the current system alive. And that's for the goal of housing and storing that historical data. There's option B, which means we go with CGI's solution to go into the data lake. That's their solution. And we would do that by converting it into a data structure that is more closely mirroring CGI's data structure. And then option C is the same. You know, we would take that historical data, put it into the data lake, but it would be a structure that was more familiar with the state's current structure. So it's more as is. And after evaluation, we decided to go with option A. There were several reasons for that, but one of the most important reasons was that we were able to do this in the time frame that we needed to prior to September of 2024. And there would be minimal impact to the resources, so we wouldn't need that many resources. The cost was relatively static. There was not an additional cost. And there was not a level of effort involved with option A. So that's really, the main drivers for going with that decision. With the other two options, we would have had a considerable amount of timeline impact, resource impact, and not necessarily cost, because B and C would have been included in the original contract. However, it would have been a drain on current resources. So that is the decision for the historical data. However, we may go forward future. So beyond the go live date of September 2024, we may choose to go with either an option B or C for a long-term solution. So that is still being evaluated, and we've got several people looking at the options for that. Any questions on that? Okay. So project budget and health, this is the current expended budget for fiscal year 2024. It's the $4.3 million. We keep this updated on a monthly basis based on our current burn rate. Our current burn rate is somewhere around $650,000 per month, and we've been pretty steady on that for the entirety of the project. The project has been in a red status since July, and we are making progress on those items which we feel are in a red status or driving towards the project being in a red status. However, we don't feel confident yet to move the status to yellow, even though we're doing quite a few things to mitigate this red status and go to a yellow. There's, like I mentioned, there's quite a few things that we're making changes on. However, the trajectory of the overall project has not changed enough that we feel comfortable putting it in yellow status. So there is additional work to do to get this project to yellow and eventually green. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Okay, so questions, Doug Lang?
Yes, so being as the project has been at risk for almost a year at this point, has there been considerations as to is there a right time to actually press pause and take a step back and really look at where we're at from an approach standpoint, a talent standpoint, a vendor standpoint? That's a very long time to be carrying risk. And instead of getting better, it looks like it's actually trending worse. Not that like you're not making improvements as we speak, but is there risk on the back end if the state needed to take some time to figure out how to truly get headed in the right direction? And then my second question is, if you reduce scope, does that ultimately impact what the state is going to get from an investment standpoint in terms of features, functionality for the total budget of the project?
I'm just writing those down so I make sure to answer both of your questions, Doug. So let me answer the first one first. There is a risk to taking a pause on the entire project. That in itself is a risk because you can take a pause to get yourself, you know, on the right track and you know, on the right path, and those kinds of things. However, we have a pretty sizable project team of, you know, at least 35 or so state team members and about the same amount on the CG, the vendor side. And so it's a sizable project team, and each of those individuals are going forward with the task that they're supposed to be doing, right? They know exactly what they're supposed to be working on, and they're working towards that on a daily basis. So there is a risk when you get to the point where you say, you know what, we're going to pause at this point and just kind of take an evaluation or, you know, change course a little bit or change path. There's a risk on, one, the momentum that you've already built up for the project team and the tasks themselves, and also the morale of the project. So there is that risk. However, I do see some benefits to doing that. So to answer your question, we have weighed whether or not we should do something, you know, that drastic. And the overall consensus was that, you know, it doesn't make sense to stop the individual team members from doing what they need to do, especially if they're on the right path and they're doing exactly what they should be doing. This is more of a pause on the PMO team and how we're addressing things, how we're mitigating risk, and what our strategy is for going forward. And I think that's where we as a PMO team for both the state and the vendor need to kind of take a pause and figure out where we need to be. And that was exactly what we did with some of these decisions and how we evaluated them to say, okay, let's really focus on those things that are going to get us to go live. And then let's put on hold some of those things where we know we can do them after go live. They're not as critical for that first day. And that's really the approach that we went through, Doug, because it warranted that drastic of a change or something, doing something different. Because, you know, doing the same thing was not going to get us there. So that's what we did. That's how we addressed it. But it was more at the PMO level and not the entire project. Does that answer your first question, Doug?
It does. Do you guys have targets or milestones to see certain KPIs improve to feel confident in the risk mitigation tactics and the things that you're doing to get back to a green status?
So a lot of the KPIs are going to be measured when we execute that testing. And I'll tell you the reason. So a lot of the KPIs have to do with improvement in efficiency, improvement in time, improvement in user experience. So for instance, if you're doing something completely on paper today and it takes 10 days to do it, then by being able to do it in a system, a live system, where no paper is required and you're able to add attachments as you need to, there's a gain in efficiency, there's a gain in time, there's a gain in, you know, not having to do paper. So a lot of that, those KPIs will be realized when we go through testing, and primarily the user acceptance testing. So we are planning to measure and document and share those KPIs at that time, which is going to be starting next February. I wanted to go to your scope question, and then I think somebody else had a question. Dave, I think you're next. So as far as the scope, remind me again, Doug, what was your question on scope? It was the reduction in scope.
So if we reduce scope and start targeting MVP, will that impact the features and functionality that we were initially targeting for the cost of the initiative?
No, not necessarily, because what we're saying by going through the evaluation process of the MVP is that these are the things that we absolutely need for day one of go live. However, those things don't fall off the list. They are just not as critical for day one. We can say, okay, we'll do this 3 months down the line and we can address it then and have resources assigned to that particular item. So the functionality that we are hoping to deliver is not going to diminish.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, sure. Dave, I think you're next.
Given this, what you just reviewed with us, and I look at the percentage of things done, it doesn't seem to me possible that you're going to be able to complete by the September of 24 date. Is there something critical about that date? Because you're making decisions now to, you know, drop things off of the go live because of that date. So is that critical or can you adjust the date?
The decision, there may be a future decision at some point to change that date. However, that decision has not been made at this time. And so the current budget, the current timeline is all associated with that September 2024 date.
But that date's not like, that would probably be about the start of open enrollment next year. It's not hooked to something like that, or is it?
It actually is. There were a number of considerations taken when we chose that original date. One of them was the open enrollment. So the September of 2024 happens right before open enrollment. So the thought process was that we could conduct the benefits open enrollment in the new system if we went live in September. So that is one of the considerations. The other consideration is that CGI, the vendor, has recommended that we do not do an end of calendar year go live. because of the impacts to things like the W-2s, their tax reporting, those kinds of things. So they do not recommend an end of year, a calendar year go live. So the December timeframe was out of the picture. And then, you know, we'd be looking at possibly March if we needed to adjust things. They also do not recommend an end of fiscal year go live. So that means that the June, July timeframe would be out of the picture as well. So there were a number of considerations as to why we picked the September date. And so, you know, we had to take all of those into account when we made that decision.
So you've asked the vendor to give you a report on how they're going to improve performance. So I take it the team doesn't feel the vendor is meeting their obligations?
Not necessarily. I don't think I said those words. But we have asked for a number of reports around metrics. We've asked for project plans so that we could plan out for the next 10 months. And so, you know, we have asked for a number of tools and documents that we can make some decisions on, because we need to make a data-driven decision on any next steps. So if there is an impact down the line to the go live date, if we need to make adjustments, it needs to be driven by data that we can all look at, agree to, and go from there. So we have asked the vendor to provide that information, and they're just now starting to do that. So that is
coming. Is the vendor complaining at all that the state's not meeting its obligations?
You know, at times they do. And what our response has been is that both parties need to be accountable, right? So the vendor needs to be accountable to their task. The state needs to be accountable as well. And, you know, we need a method to be able to hold those parties accountable. And part of that is going to come from this project plan that we're developing.
Mm-hmm. Well, given, you know, you've got some tasks that are in starters, some at 18%, it seems impossible you're going to make the September date. But anyway, you'll come to that realization at some point, and you're probably going to be looking at September of 25, not 24.
There's a possibility that it will need to be extended to some point. I just don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, I was going to say, any other questions from the committee on this? Rebecca, go ahead.
More of a comment based off of a question and discussion from earlier in a prior item. And I think I heard maybe Doug was kind of mentioning on pausing the project. It just would keep an open mind, Alba, on what could happen in pausing in terms. I know budget's not a constraint yet. But as you heard, there's budget constraints at the state. So just if it gets to that point, because it could be hard to get additional funding if required. I don't make the decisions. It's just pulling out what's out there. So even whether or not a project needs to be paused and rescoped so that it's the best utilization of the funds you have might be something to consider as you go along the next couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Rebecca, for that, because you're absolutely right. The budget was a consideration in making some of these decisions because we do not feel like we can go request additional funds. So, yeah, thank you for that.
All right. Any other questions from the committee or comments, advice? Appreciate it. Okay. Thanks, Alba. Appreciate the update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman,
for sticking with us for the extra time. I think it was valuable to allow Alba to drive us through that information. And I'm sure we'll be seeing this project back in the coming months. So thank you all. Have a great day. Again, our next meeting is December 13th, and we'll be following up with the information about that meeting. Bye now.
All right, let's go ahead and stop the presentation and the recording and the streaming.